Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, we are glad that you are here. And it is our prayer that any time that you can come out and worship with us in spirit and truth, that you absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, my family, I want us to continue and remember to keep the main thing. And what that means is to keep and have a zeal and a fire in our belly for God's word. Love one another as Christ also loved us. And let us continue to strive to be the perfect example on this time side of life as we become men, better men and women of God. And at the end of the day, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Lying in the hospital bed, a dying man began to flail about and make motions as if he would like to speak. The preacher, keeping watch at the side of his bed, leaned quietly over and asked, "Do you have something you would like to say?" The man nodded. So the preacher handed him a pen and a pad. He says, "Use this to write a note and I will give it to your wife. She's on her way." Gathering his last bit of strength, the scrawl of his message, he wrote and he died. The pastor folded the note without reading it, didn't even take a look at it. Then he maintained a vigil until the wife arrived. When she came in, he handed her the note, and his last words said this as she fainted and read the note: "Get off my oxygen hose." Somebody's awake this morning. I'm going to put that in the book. That one goes in the book right there. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month, and it is the 4th of July. And I can't promise you any fireworks this morning, but I will do my best to dive into God's word and hopefully set your hearts on fire for what God has to say about love this morning. We are continuing our 2021 theme this year, and that's love one another. We started so far in our series a series of lessons that started with the object of God's love, and that was God loving man. Then the second lesson was learning to love God. That was man loving God. And then we talked about seeing ourselves through God's eyes, man learning to love self and other in order to love others. Then we talked about the cost. Love costs, what it costs God to love man. And then we spoke about loving one another, a direct command from God himself. And then just not too long ago, we spoke on the urgency of the gospel, spreading the good news of the gospel, but doing so with love. And now this morning, I want to bring a lesson from God's word titled, "Love your enemies." Love your enemies. God died for all men. Now, I can't speak for anyone else this morning. I truly can't. I can't speak for you, but for me, this is one of the toughest commandments of Jesus. I don't know of any other commandment from Jesus that's harder to follow than his commandment to love your enemy. And from what I see in the world today, and also sometimes in the Lord's church, is that we often struggle with this commandment. After all, is it even possible to love your enemy? Hopefully this morning we'll learn a few things from what Jesus has to say on the matter, what he taught, the life he lived out pertaining to loving your enemy, so that we too can conquer what seems to be an impossible task. When we think about the word enemy. It means someone who is openly hostile towards you. They have hatred in their heart pertaining to you. It is an irreconcilable hostility proceeding out of a personal hatred. They're bent on inflicting harm towards you. Webster describes it as a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. We're talking about someone who is combatant, a person who is an antagonist, someone who is an adversary, an opponent. We're talking about someone who is called a nemesis, a rival, and a foe. See, these descriptions of an enemy doesn't sound like someone who's going to make it easy for you to love them. When you're talking about an antagonist, an adversary, an opponent, a nemesis, a rival, this is someone you're supposed to love. This is someone that you're supposed to care about. This is someone that you have to extend forgiveness and grace to. And that's not easy. Well, news alert. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be easy like the button at Staples. You know the commercial, it's that easy. It's not. It's not that easy. And we won't get that. But we do have something that's much better than the easy button at Staples. We have God's own word to tell us how to love our enemies, instructing us and giving us an example and actioning every single word. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning or your electronic devices, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. That's Matthew chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In Matthew 5, it details Jesus' sermon on the Mount. Here in this sermon, he instructs his followers of a number of things of different topics that they need to take heed to, which include marriage, which includes divorce, honesty, adultery, and murder. Also discussed was the concept of forgiveness, especially towards those who persecute you. Now, I need you to keep that in mind. We're talking about forgiving people who are persecuting you. We're talking about forgiving someone who has an ault against you. And now Jesus begins by drawing a comparison, the love we have for our neighbor versus the hate we have for any enemy. That's in verse 43. What you have heard, that is, was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This reappears later in the book of Luke during the parable of the Good Samaritan. This story allows Jesus to present the similarities between people who would prefer to distinguish an enemy and a neighbor. Distinguish as an enemy and a neighbor. So in both of these passages, Jesus admonishes the believer to refrain from the cultural hate and to instead love everyone. So don't do what the rest of the world is doing. Don't go about what's popular. Don't go about what everyone else has going on. You do what I say. But how do we do that is the question. How do we go about loving our enemy? How do we do this? Well, I believe it begins with forgiveness. Jesus knew that forgiveness was necessary. He knew that it was needed in order to love an enemy, because he tells us to pray for those who persecute you. In order for you to pray for somebody, you got to have some forgiveness in your heart. Before you get on your knees and pray for somebody who has an ault against you, a nemesis and a foe, you got to have some forgiveness in your heart. In times past, I've talked to several Christians that shared with me their stories of bad experiences in the workplace. And instead of praying for an adversary's demise, they sent up prayers for the success of the adversary, not to be successful in monetary sense, not to be to get a promotion, not for them to just leave them alone, but they pray for the adversary to come to the knowledge to know who God is. See, that's what we need to be doing. So, you know, when you're at work and you have somebody that's bothering you and giving you a hard time on the job, you need to be praying for them in a sense that they get to know the love of God the same way that you have. To come to the knowledge and the understanding of the truth the same way you have. Instead of praying for their demise. Now, in both of these passages, he admonishes believers to refrain from the culture of hate. So it's important for us to do this at all times. And sadly, the world responds to persecution. It means to get back with violence. It means to have some slander. It means to retaliate in terms of the world's definition. But Jesus showed us on the cross how to respond to persecutors. So when we pray for our oppressors from a place of love, we seek their well-being. That's what we should be doing. We should be seeking their well-being, not their harm or not their demise. It's only then we can have a heart filled with humility to ask God to mold and shift their hearts instead of us trying to force change. You get that? Because a lot of times we try to force change. I'm gonna make you be a better person. And that's not how this works at all. You're dealing with somebody who does not understand the love of God. So instead of you forcing the change, why don't you pray and put it in God's hands, who has the power to change? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." See, many times we get stuck in that ego that says, "You did me wrong, I'm gonna do you wrong. You did it to me, I'm gonna do it to you. I'm gonna repay you in the same manner." But Jesus says, "But I say to you," not what your friends say, not what the world says, what's popular. Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." He's telling us exactly what we need to do. And forgiveness is the beginning of loving your enemies. It's not just saying to yourself, "Oh, I'm not going to deal with them. I don't have a problem with them." No, you have to forgive them. That's the beginning of loving your enemies. And listen, I'm not saying that this comes easily. I want you to understand that I'm not just telling you this and then you're just supposed to go out there and just do it. It doesn't come easy, which is why we need to understand that we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. Because it's not going to come from you totally. It's going to come from the love of God, the understanding of God. So when we acknowledge and recognize, because this is the biggest part of it all, when you're talking about loving your enemies, when you're talking about forgiving somebody, the first thing you have to do is recognize your own inadequacies. Say it over here. You gotta really look at yourself and say to yourself, "I'm not all together either. I'm not all that. I know I go to church. I know I'm in the Lord's church. I know I've been baptized, but I ain't all that. I have problems. I have issues. I have struggles, and I have battles too." So I have to put myself in that person's shoes and recognize that. Then, and only then, you can fully appreciate the power of God's grace. When you think about where you were, the attitude you once had,
The language you once used, the behavior you once displayed, that's when you recognize the power of God, because that same grace that you have to extend to somebody else, God extended to you. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love." And let me just say that this forgiveness that I'm talking about doesn't mean that you ignore the evil act. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you ignore somebody doing something evil to you, but rather it means not letting the act overtake us and rob us of the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. You think about that. You getting upset with somebody else that doesn't have the power to put you in heaven or in hell, and you're willing to put your relationship with God at risk because you want to retaliate. Because you're so mad that you got to get back at them. You forget about your relationship with God, and we can't do that. Verse 45 is important because if we want to be sons, right, of our Father, which is in heaven, forgiveness must happen first in order that our own sins may be forgiven. We got to make sure that we're right. We got to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. And remember when Peter asked Jesus, how many times, you know, can I forgive somebody? I bet you he was pulling they probably didn't have that back then, but it'll probably look like this. You know, you how many times you supposed to forgive somebody? 7 times? Because I bet he was saying it like, yeah, I can do it 7 because that's easy, right? Lord, I can forgive somebody 7 times. Surely I can do that. And that's the right answer. That's probably his attitude, his ego. I can do 7 times. And the Lord said, no, 70 times. And the point of the matter is this. When he asked him this, it was in Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. The big picture is nobody is beyond God's redemption. That's the point of the matter. No one. And because of that, we learn how to forgive those who persecute us. And we ask God to support us in forgiving that person. Lord, help me in this area of my life, dealing with this person that's not very friendly, this person that's very evil and disrespectful towards me. Lord, help me in this area of forgiving them. Help me have a heart of grace. Help me have a heart of patience and understanding the same way you have that patience and grace and understanding with me. We have to be like that towards other people. And the more we pray with forgiveness in our hearts, saints, the more we can operate in the manner which Jesus taught. And that's the most important part. So next, if we're ever going to be able to love our enemy, it not only needs to be done through forgiveness, but it has to be done through prayer. It has to be. I don't know about you, but it takes prayer dealing with people. I mean, it takes a whole lot of prayer. Like I said, it stated earlier, you have a million personalities, man. You thinking you meet a group of great people, and then you go somewhere else and you thinking maybe you get that same energy, and that's not always the case. So what do you do in times of that? We got to pray. And I need for our young people, especially because I know y'all can relate to this, and some of our people who are into that are technological. Prayer is our phone. It's our 5G line to God. You like that, young people? 5G. It's our 5G line to our Father. Jesus readily gives examples of how to love through prayer. He shows us how to love through prayer. He says we ought to pray for those who are persecuting us. How about that? Can you imagine going home, young people, and praying for the bully that's bullying you and bothering you all the time? You getting down on your knees praying for somebody who disrespects you and talks about you and says all types of nasty things to you, and you getting on your knees praying for them. But that's what God expects from his children. Then he says, in doing so, you please the Father which is in heaven. So don't worry about pleasing your friends or looking weak to your peers. You need to be worried about the Father in heaven looking at you and saying, "I'm so pleased with my child for doing what I asked him to do, praying for those who persecute them." You know, over in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, The Bible says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. I need for you to understand, Jesus hung on the cross. He is hanging on the cross. I want you to picture it in your mind. All that you know, everything that he has been through. And even at the end, hanging on the cross, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, but that's a love that's... It's matchless. I mean, we have a hard time dealing with folks who pull out in front of us while we're driving. Amen. Come on, I know I ain't the only one. Amen. Standing in line, you've been waiting in line, and somebody cut in front of you. You trying to get your cheeseburger, and you about to have a fit, lose all your religion over a medium fry. But sadly, that's how the world responds, right? We respond to persecution by means of violence or retaliation. But Jesus showed us on the cross how to respond. That is the example. The same way he died and asked for them to be forgiven, we have to die to the flesh of ourselves and not allow it to take over us. We have to be willing to forgive no matter the circumstance or situation. He says, pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who persecute you. And when we pray for our oppressors from a place of love, what we're doing is we're seeking their well-being and not their harm. When we pray from a position of love, it shifts the focus from the hurt that we feel to the lost soul that's in need. I'm going to say it again because that's real, right? You hurting, and you're so concerned about your hurt, you're not thinking about the lost soul that needs a savior. And that's our position. As the moment you signed on for this, I'm sure every soldier that signed up didn't want to go to war, but guess what? They in it now. And guess what? We are at war for our souls every single day. And we need to be worried about the soul in need than the hurt that they have given us. Because let me tell you something, that God that loves you, if you know the God that I know, the God that loves you, the one who died for you, he got your back. He'll take care of his own. What is that? The Bible says that all works, all good things work for those who love the Lord. It'll come together. If you love him, it'll work out. He will take care of his children. And we have to remember that. When you take the focus off the womb, and in turn focus it on the wounded, that's when you begin to change lives. You're so wounded that you can't understand that there's somebody else that's wounded that needs the love of God. And that's what we have to start showing people. Okay, yeah, you said some hurtful things, but clearly you're wounded. Clearly you don't know the love of God. Let me show you by praying for you. You know how you can change the attitude of a person that's acting crazy with you? The moment they say, excuse me, and you know they get to rolling their eyes and their necks and all that, say, excuse me, let me pray for you. I bet you they'll change right then. I don't want any problem. Can I pray for you right now? Imagine the response you get then. They either gonna get on or they're gonna let you pray for them. Because they're gonna think there's something wrong with you. That's right. Because I'm a peculiar individual because I have the love of God in my heart. I'll pray for you right now. Come on, let's pray. Come on. Let me pray for you. That's the attitude we have to have. Beloved, if we live in a world. We live in a world full of lost souls. You have to understand this. We live in a world full of lost souls. And until we can see these lost souls as being worthy of God's grace and mercy, we're going to keep the focus on the wound. Our prayer should be for those who are hurting, for God to mold them and shift their hearts into the right place. Jesus showed us how to respond. Listen, after he endured all he endured, he prayed for them. Can you imagine that? Phil, can you imagine that? You need some water to give you vinegar. They mock you instead of putting a crown on your head to put a crown of thorns on you. Strip your neck. You're just out. All that you are is just out beating you, spitting on you, saying all kinds of horrible things. And then when it's all said and done, hang you up on a cross and all of your openness. And you say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's powerful. That's the greatest example that we have. So don't tell me that we can't do it. Yeah, it's hard, but it's not impossible. Jesus told us that we will have suffering in this world according to 1 John chapter 16 and verse 33. He says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That ought to be encouraging to us. Jesus was just presenting this information for us to be fearful. That's not what it's about. He wanted believers to take solace in the fact that they can overcome the world, that it can be done, and you can do it God's way. He said, by this, everyone would know that you are my disciples. Because of what? Because you love one another. You want somebody to know that you're a disciple? I told you, when they start acting crazy, just say, I love you, brother. Let me pray for you. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You just changed that whole situation, showing them. And then they might start asking you. As a matter of fact, we were at the gas station when we were on our way back from Louisville seeing my son and my daughter. And there was a man who didn't speak good English. He was trying to get to Atlanta. And I was trying to help him. You know, I guess everybody else, you know, was just doing what they needed to do. For whatever reason, you know, D says, let me tell you something. You are the only person I know that doesn't know a stranger. You don't know a stranger. I walk into it and he says, amigo, you speak Spanish? I said, nope. I'm trying to get to La Vista in Atlanta. Okay, I know La Vista. I know Atlanta. I'm going to try to get you there. Man, I'm trying to write stuff down. I'm trying to figure out. He's having much difficulty trying to figure it out. I go to the car. D looking at me like, here we go. Kristen made another friend. Where you trying to take this man? What are we doing? What are we trying to do? I said, I'm just trying to help him. I'm just trying to get him to where he's going. In the midst of all of that, you know what he say? Christian? You Christian? Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't do it for that reason. I did it because I simply wanted to help him. And based on my actions, he associated my behavior and my willingness to help him as a Christian. And you tell me that we ain't walking advertisements for Christ. We have to make sure that we are extending this. If we want the world to change, we got to lead the way. We got to lead the way. Lastly, learning to love an enemy will take us understanding God's love for humanity. When we understand God's love for humanity, you will have a different approach. And verses 45 through 48 in Matthew, he says, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for us all, not just for those who have obeyed the gospel, not just the good people or the people that we think are good. Remember, Jesus said, none of us are good. So let's get the news flash out there. And I ain't making this up. It's in Romans chapter 3, 10 through 12. He says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not impressed with you just supporting those who are like-minded. Let me make that clear. He ain't impressed with that. He ain't impressed with you just hanging around folks that you like, that's easy to get along with. He's more impressed of you dealing with people who don't understand the gospel truth, who don't have couth, who don't have the proper manners and behavior. He's impressed with that. Listen, for if you love those who you love, what reward do you have? He said that. I didn't make that up. This ain't the book of Chris. This is the word of God. He says, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Right? Don't the gangs only take care of the gangs? The bike riders and bikers, they only hang out with bikers? But we as Christians are supposed to show love to everybody. We're supposed to greet and help everybody. Even our enemies. So how do we see those that have wronged us? That's the question you have to ask yourself. How do I see the people who have wronged me? Right? What about those who've spewed hatred? What about those who showed racism towards you? Bigotry. Being pig-headed. Disrespecting women. Right? What about those people? Do you show love to them? Do you see them the same way that God sees them? Because you have to start asking yourself this. I don't see them that way. I see them as a sinner in need of saving. I don't see them no other way. I see this as a person who doesn't know better, so let me help them. What they do with that is on them. My job is to show them the gospel truth. Show them the love of God, the one who I say I represent. I got to show them that. When we step outside of ourselves and put our ego and pride on pause, we can remember a time when we needed God's mercy. When you can just put your ego aside and put it on pause, you can remember when you needed some grace and you needed some mercy and you needed some forgiveness. You needed somebody to deal with you and your foolishness and your mess. Because somebody had to. None of us were perfect. Everybody in here that's doing what you're doing now, and I'm grateful that you're firing on all cylinders. I'm grateful that you have a passion for God's word. I'm grateful that you're showing the love of God in your heart. But there was a point in time in your life when you wasn't doing that. And God's grace was extended to you. And the same way it was extended to you, we have to extend it to those who don't know God. I heard it put this way. If you hate your enemies, you have no way to redeem and to transform your enemies. No way whatsoever. But if you love your enemies, you will discover that at every root of love is the power of redemption. You want somebody to redeem? You want somebody to change? Just show them some love. It's not hard. It's not hard to do. I'm going to stand right here because you can't talk. I'm proud of you too, brother. He probably going to say, man, you know, my preacher crazy. That wasn't hard. Family, some love comes easy while others is not easy. And it's quite simple. See, loving an enemy is difficult, but not impossible. Jesus showed us exactly how it's done. Loving an enemy does call for wisdom from heaven. Don't get me wrong. It takes a lot. It's not just something you're just going to do. You got to be in the word, and you have to really, truly understand the love of God and your position as a soldier in his army. What your orders are. And these are our orders. And we have been commanded to love our enemies. So the question is this morning. For while we were still weak, and at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God showed his love for us that even while we were still sinners, he died for us. So here's the question. Do we get out of our way to forgive? Or are we harboring unforgiveness in our hearts? You got to ask yourself that this morning. Do you regularly pray for those who are against you? Or do you hope that something happens to them because of their behavior? You know, to be honest, I have to just say this. 2020 was tough. It was rough for a lot of reasons. And with all the things that I've seen with my own eyes, the things that I heard, stuff that people were posting on Facebook, Christians, people of the household of faith, at the end of the day, I forgave and I prayed. That I can't control. Y'all want to affect change? We need to start praying. And we need to start having forgiveness. And we still need to start showing the love of God in our hearts. Y'all want this to change? That's what we have to do. Y'all sick of it? Because I am. So if you're sick of sin, the best way to defeat darkness and sin is through love and righteousness. So I'll leave you with this question. Do you bless others? Do you rejoice with those who rejoice? Do you weep with those who weep? Do you try to live in harmony with your enemies? Are you haughty? Are you wise in your own sight? I know many of us are. I know we know it all. Do we repay evil for evil? Would you even feed your enemy or give him a drink? This is what I do know. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He didn't say vengeance was yours. He didn't say you go out and handle that. He didn't say you go out and take care of those who did something to you. He says, vengeance is mine. It belongs to God and not us. And I think the more that we understand that we are made in the image of God, we will start conducting and acting and seeing others through the lenses of God. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you're struggling with this forgiving your enemies. Maybe you've sinned publicly. Maybe you're battling with something that we have no clue of, but God can change it. God can fix it. God can reverse it. Let me tell you something. We have a God that can make time stand still. So I know that he can change your circumstance and your situation. And if you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, let me tell you the best thing that you could ever do is hold on to God's hand and never let go. And the best way you can do that is through baptism, being buried in water, washing away your sins, wiping the slate clean, learning to love God, and in turn loving him and knowing the love that he extends to you, you extend to your enemies and everybody else. So if you're here this morning and your desire is to change that heart problem you have, those battles that you're battling with and in the mind and in the heart, if you're willing to humble yourself, and like I said last week, just give yourself away to him. Just give him a chance. We give everybody and everything else a chance. Folk jumping out of planes, I'll take a chance. Right? I'll jump out of a plane. I'll go bungee jumping. But we won't even give God a chance. This morning, I'm asking you to give God a chance this morning. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, please come now together. We stand and sing.